Good afternoon, 4:30 and 49 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I don't consider this to be a partisan issue. I don't consider it so much to be an issue except for saving money in perpetuity.
Former Fayette County Judge Executive John Larson urges the Kentucky legislature to eliminate the office he once held.
A Portsmouth man is indicted on 2 counts of attempted murder.
And Governor Bevin talks about fighting drug abuse at the National Governors Association.
In sports, a star linebacker is kicked off the UK football team after being arrested on drug charges.
But Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-30s, the complete weather forecast is coming up after this news.
A 53-year-old Portsmouth man has been indicted on 2 counts of attempted murder and discharging a firearm within a school safety zone. The Portsmouth Daily Times reports the indictments were returned by a Scioto County grand jury against Richard Ackerman. Police say the charges are related to a January 8th shooting in the 200 block of Pershing Avenue. Ackerman is accused of shooting 58-year-old John LeMaster, as well as his 76-year-old mother. They say Mary Ackerman was hit by stray buckshot. Both remain hospitalized in Huntington.
A weekend fire resulted in the deaths of several horses in Olive Hill. WSAZ reports the blaze occurred around 7:30 Friday night on Tick Ridge. Owner Donnie Oppenheimer says he was in the barn when it started, but isn't sure what caused it. He was able to save 3 horses, but lost 11 in total. Crews from the Olive Hill, Hayes Crossing, Moorhead, Grand, and Grayson fire departments responded to the scene.
Centrus Energy Corporation says it will demobilize the American centrifuge plant in Piketon. According to a press release from the company, the process will begin with a layoff of about 60 employees next week. Centrus President and CEO Dan Poneman says the site will be decontaminated in the coming weeks. He says the company will do all it can to help the workers transition to new opportunities. The U.S. Department of Energy said last fall it would not fund additional demonstration activities at Piketon.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins remains optimistic the county won't have to sue the state to get the $1.5 million it's owed for the design and engineering phases of its new detention center. State law mandates the Kentucky Department of Corrections cover those fees for any jail projects it approves. However, the DOC has balked at paying Rowan County, saying it doesn't have the money. According to Blevins, even though the law is firmly on the county's side, there is a loophole.
The budget can supersede the statutes, and we're hoping that they'll realize that still we're going to keep coming back, and if we have to take them to court, we'll take them to court, and we don't want to go to court. We'd like to see this taken care of, but we're just not positive, and it'll be a big impact on the citizens of Rowan County if we don't get the money.
Blevins hopes Republican Governor Matt Bevin will help Rowan County get its money from the DOC, since Laurel and Oldham counties, 2 counties with GOP legislators, have also been given the go-ahead to build new jails.
The office of Fayette County Judge Executive would be eliminated under legislation sponsored by Lexington State Representative Stan Lee and Ruth Ann Palumbo. Their measure was recommended for passage this afternoon by the House Elections Committee. It is supported by former Fayette County Judge John Larson, who says the post is outdated. Since Lexington and Fayette County have merged their governments, Larson says the judge executive's office is obsolete.
Our government is called the Lexington-Fayette Urban County Government. Our mayor is the county mayor as well as the city mayor.
Even if the General Assembly approves the bill, however, it's still up to voters statewide to make the final decision. That's because the office of judge executive cannot be abolished without amending the Kentucky Constitution.
Governor Matt Bevin says he's calling for substantial increases in funding to fight drug addiction in Kentucky, despite the state's depleted financial resources. The Republican spoke about the problem in Washington over the weekend at the winter meeting of the National Governors Association.
In our state, a state that is very capacity constrained financially on many fronts, we are dedicating 60% more dollars than we did even last year to addressing this problem in each of the next 2 years. Not really because we have those dollars, but you can't afford not to do it. And that's really the rub, and that's really what we find ourselves battling.
Bevin is quick to add he hopes to engage the medical community in a discussion about prescriptions for opioids. He says the drugs are so unbelievably addictive, you have to wonder whether they should be prescribed at all.
State Senator Christian McDaniel is calling Governor Bevin's proposed 2-year budget tough but visionary. The Taylor Mill Republican says the plan helps shore up the state's troubled pension systems, and that should have been done a long time ago. McDaniel is also skeptical of the claims of university presidents that they've been shortchanged in the new budget.
The fact of the matter is, tuition has grown more than 25% faster than the decline in funding has occurred. What's going on? Why should we not demand accountability from the leaders in every institution that this Commonwealth funds?
McDaniel says Kentucky's children are not better served by the state borrowing money to keep programs and services intact. He also says increasing taxes will drive companies out of the Commonwealth.
Democratic State Senator Ray Jones says Kentucky's public employees may be happy that Governor Bevin is pledging to put more money into the financially challenged public pension systems. However, the Pikeville Democrat, whose district includes Martin, Morgan, and Elliott counties, says they may not be smiling for very long.
The governor says he's shored up the pension plan, but yet some state agencies get 4.5% cut this year plus 9% in the next 2 years. You know what that means? That means your pension that's vested may get a little extra money infused into the plan, but you may lose your job.
Jones terms the Bevin budget plan short-sighted, especially when it comes to higher education.
Kentucky Senate President Robert Stivers says his chamber is eagerly awaiting the new budget plan proposed by the democratically controlled House of Representatives. By law, the budget must originate in the House and then be acted on by the Senate, which is in Republican hands. The General Assembly's 2016 session is nearly at its halfway point, and a budget has yet to emerge from the House. As far as Governor Bevin's budget recommendations are concerned, Stivers says the legislature will craft its own spending plan as it sees fit.
The process is going forward. We're waiting. We're ready. But to truly have a good open discussion and to retain something that I truly believe in is our ability to veto override. I am not willing, because it is my governor, to give up my legislative independence.
Stivers is from Manchester, and his district includes Wolfe and Owsley counties.
The Kentucky Chamber of Commerce says it will pay for billboards and newspaper ads to raise awareness about Kentucky's public pension debt. Chamber President and CEO Dave Adkison says Kentucky's $36 billion public pension debt would require every Kentuckian to pay $8,200 just to pay it off. He says the campaign will call for an audit of all of Kentucky's public pension systems. Republican Governor Matt Bevin has proposed cutting state spending by $650 million over the next 2 years and putting the savings toward the pension debt. Adkison says the campaign will not urge support of the Bevin budget proposal, which has caused controversy for its cuts to state colleges and universities, among other programs.
Morehead State University is launching a public advocacy campaign to generate more support for higher education. School President Wayne Andrews says a website has been created and information is being distributed through social media.
And we've called that advocacy campaign Fund the Solution. And what we're trying to help people understand is that higher education is not the problem. It's the solution to many of the problems we face. A better educated populace is healthier. They do better work. They receive higher wages. They're more involved in government.
Andrew says higher ed can help solve the biggest challenges Kentucky is facing, but can't do it with less money.
Ohio will make college more affordable by expanding its 3+1 program. That's what the head of the Buckeye State's higher education system said at a press conference today. John Kerry said the initiative allows students to take 3 years of classes at a community college and then finish at a 4-year institution. He says the program can greatly reduce expenses for low and moderate income students.
We want to highlight the success of the college-university's partnerships and encourage more opportunities for students to study for 3 years at a community college on their way to a bachelor's degree. With an average tuition of slightly more than $4,000 a year at a community college, that provides a lower cost pathway to a 4-year degree.
Kerry says some Ohio schools already have the so-called 3+1 pathways, and more will be added.
The Kentucky Senate has passed a bill that would open some juvenile court proceedings to the public and the media. Republican Senator Julie Rocky Adams of Louisville says the measure is restricted to cases involving dependency, neglect, abuse, and termination of parental rights.
Senate Bill 40 also contains safeguards which effectively balance the public's needs for information with a child's legitimate interest of confidentiality.
However, Carter County Democrat Robin Webb isn't so sure about that. She says a public airing of some juvenile proceedings could give children a scarlet letter for the rest of their lives.
I think this bill is a slippery slope, and I would not want to see this come for the children of my district.
Senator Adams says her bill is simply intended to shed light on how juvenile courts handle certain types of cases.
Kentucky's top cop is calling it a career. Will Clark reports.
Kentucky State Police Commissioner Rodney Brewer will retire at the end of the month, ending a 34-year career with KSP. Brewer has been commissioner since December of 2007, when he was appointed by former Governor Beshear. Brewer, who graduated from the KSP Academy in 1980, has held every merit and non-merit position with the agency and says he'll take some time off before pursuing other career opportunities. I'm Will Clark.
There's a new police chief in Aberdeen. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, he is Fred Hampton, who was introduced to city council last Thursday. Hampton is a Lynchburg High School graduate and served 6 years in the U.S. Marine Corps. He was a member of the Hillsboro Police Department for 19 years.
The head of an organization that cares for abused and neglected animals says Kentucky has weak laws against dog fighting, but a bill now stalled in the Senate committee would change that. Rebecca Eves is director of the Arrow Fund. She says Senate Bill 14 would make it easier to prosecute people who stage dog fights.
I know in my heart most Kentuckians do not want dog fighting in our state, and this would close up the loophole that we have. In Kentucky, all other states have this loophole closed. In our state, we have to catch dog fighters in the act of fighting. It's almost impossible.
Eves is urging Kentuckians to call their local lawmakers and ask them to support tougher laws against dog fighting.
A section of Interstate 64 in eastern Kentucky has been named in the honor of a fallen Kentucky State Police trooper. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has that story.
The area of I-64 between mile points 95 and 105 was designated last Friday as the Trooper Anson Blake Tribby Memorial Highway by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. Tribby was off duty when he responded to a motor vehicle crash in January of 2013. He was killed when his vehicle struck a tow truck. His parents, Bob and Pam Tribby of Maysville, and his widow, Rebecca Tribby of Mount Sterling, were on hand for the unveiling of the signage memorializing Trooper Tribby. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Jordan Simonson.
Governor Matt Bevin has signed a proclamation declaring this week as Severe Weather Week in Kentucky. Storms are the Commonwealth's most common threat. Last year, there were 4 weather-related federal disasters in the Bluegrass. Ronnie Day is the Moorhead Rowan County Emergency Management Director. According to Day, the warmer weather on the way, this is the time of the year area residents should begin thinking about how to deal with severe weather situations.
It seems like, in the spring and the summer, we're getting severe thunderstorm warnings and unfortunately some tornado warnings as well throughout the year. And these things seem to be coming more frequent than they have in the past. We just try to bring awareness to the situation to let people know that these things are out there and they can happen on a second's notice.
Day says a statewide tornado drill is scheduled for tomorrow at 10:07 a.m. The National Weather Service is partnering with Kentucky Emergency Management, the state's Weather Preparedness Committee, and the Kentucky Broadcasters Association to host the event. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the Moorhead State Public Radio listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and patchy valley fog developing late. Lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll see that patchy valley fog early in the morning. Highs during the day reaching up to around 58. Tomorrow night, a 90% chance of rain showers. Lows around 48 degrees. On Wednesday, we'll see a 100% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs around 60 with gusty winds. That night, more precipitation near the chance of 100%, lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, it'll be a little cooler, an 80% chance of snow or rain, with highs around 38. It's currently sitting at 50 degrees in Ashland right now. It's 49 in Flemingsburg, 51 in Inez, 50 in Lexington, 48 in Winchester, and it's 49 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:46, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's great to have you along on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, some legal experts say the death of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia reduces the odds the High Court will derail the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan. Here is the Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre.
The sudden passing of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia could change the balance on the High Court with regard to the Clean Power Plan. Justice Scalia voted with the majority in the 5-4 decision to stay the plan and its carbon reduction goals. The vote was made along ideological lines, and some legal experts say Scalia's death improves the longer-term odds for the Clean Power Plan. Julie Gordy is a senior vice president for sustainable investing at Pax World Management. Even before Scalia's passing, she says the High Court was not likely to throw the plan out.
It was the Supreme Court that actually affirmed that regulating greenhouse gas emissions is covered by the Clean Air Act, which is already U.S. law. So for the Supreme Court to really kill the Clean Power Plan would mean that they'd have to reverse an earlier Supreme Court ruling, which they rarely do.
The High Court put a stay on the plan last week in response to a challenge by Kentucky and 26 other states. Governor Matt Bevin calls the decision a victory for the state's efforts to limit rising energy prices and save coal industry jobs. Gordy notes that American investment in clean energy was a record $330 million last year. She says despite increased competition and sagging oil prices, the prospects remain positive.
It is still at a record high, and it is going well. And I think investors really do understand the need to change our energy infrastructure. Whatever the Supreme Court does, coal is pretty much dead. I mean, nobody's building any new coal plants. There haven't been any built for years.
The EPA estimates the Clean Power Plan will produce $54 billion in health and climate benefits. Heather Zeichel, a former deputy assistant for energy and climate for President Obama, says the prudent move is for states to move forward on reducing carbon emissions.
As we have seen the growing body of scientific evidence showing that climate change is happening, the impacts are real in our communities, in our states, it really does underscore that the time to act is now.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:49, all things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock and sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Innovation Network at MSU. The Innovation Network supports and promotes entrepreneurship by providing business consulting to entrepreneurs, small businesses, innovative nonprofits, and inventors. The network also works in Eastern Kentucky schools to teach entrepreneurship and promote the high-tech industries of the future, such as drones and space science. To learn how the Innovation Network helps the entrepreneurs of today while encouraging the entrepreneurs of tomorrow, the phone number is 606-783-9536.
football takes a hit. Good afternoon, I'm MSPR's Michael Gustin with the Sports Report. University of Kentucky star linebacker Jason Hatcher has been dismissed from the team following his arrest this morning on marijuana charges. Hatcher was pulled over around 1 o'clock this morning with over a pound of marijuana in his car. He was 7th on the team last season in total tackles. For the National Football League, former Dallas Cowboy running back Joseph Randle has been arrested after hitting three people with a car and busting into a home. Randle is jailed on a $100,000 bond on suspicion of aggravated battery, drug possession, and criminal damage to property. Also, the New York Jets have released veteran cornerback Antonio Cromartie. The move comes to save the Jets $8 million in salary cap space. And the Indianapolis Colts have released linebackers Jonathan Newsom and Andy Studebaker. Newsom was a fifth-round pick in 2014 by Indy and was arrested last week on marijuana possession charges. Studebaker rejoined the Colts this past December and primarily played on special teams. The AP Top 25 men's basketball poll is out for this week. Here's Jack Briggs with the coverage.
As expected, Villanova and Kansas remain the top two teams in the AP poll. The 24-3 Wildcats received 45 first-place votes, while the 23-4 Jayhawks got 20. Tied for third are Virginia and Oklahoma, and they are followed in the top 10 by Xavier, Michigan State, North Carolina, Iowa, Arizona, and Maryland. Nova will have its toughest test yet as the top-ranked team when on Wednesday the Wildcats are in Cincinnati to face number 5 Xavier. This is Jack Briggs.
Meanwhile, University of Louisville is ranked 11th, while Kentucky dropped to number 16 after losing to Texas A&M on Saturday. 16th-ranked Kentucky will look to get back on the winning track tomorrow night when it hosts Alabama. Coach John Calipari wasn't dismayed by the Wildcats' 79-77 overtime loss at Texas A&M Saturday, saying they played hard and winning away from home in the SEC is tough. He maintains the young Cats are getting better.
The toughness thing has been an issue for us from the beginning of the year, and there are games that we do it, and there are other games that we just, the mindset is not there to be physical and bang and do what you have to do, and that's when we struggle.
And that's mainly insight on the boards. UK will return to action at 20-7 for the season. The 16 region high school basketball teams start district tournament play this week, with the girls doing most of the work tonight. The 61st District Tourney begins at 6 o'clock with Rowan County meeting Bath County. Coach Elaine Douglas likes her 20-7 Lady Vikings are playing right now.
Yes, I mean, they're playing very well right now, playing well together, playing good defense. And, of course, as a coach, you're never 100% satisfied with how they play. But I would say, yeah, they're right where they ought to be right now.
In the 61st District's second game of the night, Menifee County faces Fleming County. In the 62nd at Elliott County, the host team plays East Carter and West Carter takes on Morgan County. In the 63rd at Greenup County, it's Russell against Raceland. And in the 64th, Ashland Blazer is at home to meet Fairview. On the boys' side, just two games tonight. Greenup County is at home to tangle with Raceland in the 63rd District, while Ashland Blazer hosts Fairview in the 64th. Limited offensively, Blazer coach Jeremy Howell's Tomcats are very deliberate on offense, which he believes will work well in the postseason when possessions are more valued and play has a tendency to slow down.
Defensively, that'll help us out. You know, a lot of teams would like to speed up, obviously don't like to slow down. They get lazy on defense. They want to take quick shots just so they can get back at it. But you know, at the end of the day, I think it favors us here in the postseason play.
Ashland is 16-9 this season, including two earlier wins over Fairview. Despite continued rumors that he'll eventually be traded, veteran outfielder Jay Bruce is starting spring training in uniform with the Cincinnati Reds. Bruce says he's trying not to let those stories bother him while he prepares for the 2016 season.
Until opening day comes and I walk out on the field in Cincinnati, you know, who knows what's going to happen. But I'm ready to go. I'm a Red until I'm not. So just kind of deal with that as professionally as I can.
Bruce adds, if the Reds do trade him, he'll understand since the ball club needs to do what it can to improve itself moving forward. Also for Major League Baseball, the Chicago White Sox have signed former National League MVP Jimmy Rollins to a minor league contract. The 37-year-old hopes to compete for the starting job at shortstop. And the New York Yankees pitcher Masahiro Tanaka is making progress after arthroscopic surgery in his elbow to remove a bone spur last October. Tanaka threw 31 pitches off the mound today in a bullpen session. And finally in sports today, Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire is happy about his team's start this season. The Eagles are 3-0 after opening with 4-1, 24-4, and 4-2 victories at North Carolina Central. McGuire says it was a great weekend for his ball club.
Especially as many new guys as we were implementing this weekend positionally, and then you know, we had some injuries, unfortunately, that threw some even more new guys into the fire right away. And to come out of it with three wins and play as well as we did, pitch as well as we did, I'm very tickled with where we are, three games in.
MSU batted .364 in the three wins, with junior Will Schneider hitting two of the Eagles' nine homers. They'll play tomorrow at North Carolina State. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Women's basketball hosts Tennessee State at 6 p.m. on Wednesday for their final home game of the season. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed more than 1% higher, building on their best weekly gain of 2016 that the markets, of course, had last week as oil prices climbed very sharply. The Dow Industrials briefly gained more than 250 points to temporarily top its 50-day moving average as shares of United Technologies spiked more than 6.5% following a report that the company had held merger talks recently with Honeywell. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a very strong gain of 228.67 at 16,620.66. The S&P 500 was up 27.72 at 1945.5, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 66.18 at 4570.61. New York Stock Exchange breadth was almost 4-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. West Texas Intermediate for March delivery, which expired after the settle today, was up $1.84 a barrel, finishing at $31.48 a barrel, and the April contract was up $1.64 at $33.39 a barrel. And the International Energy Agency said in its medium-term outlook that U.S. shale oil production was expected to fall by 600,000 barrels per day this year and another 200,000 next year. And also adding to oil strength, OPEC Secretary General El-Badri said at a meeting or a conference in Houston that OPEC is willing to work with non-OPEC producers to find a solution for low oil prices. And also helping U.S. stocks today was further stabilization in China, where the yuan held steady overnight and the Shanghai Composite jumped more than 2% to lead gainers in Asian equities. European stocks closed more than 1.5% higher. Among Dow Industrial stocks today, as mentioned, United Technologies finishing with a gain of 4.5% at the close. And obviously this on word that the company is in merger talks with Honeywell. Chevron was up 2.7%. And among S&P 500 companies, Alcoa was up 13%. And also Freeport-McMoRan up 14.5% as you had definite strength in the minerals area. Among NASDAQ stocks, Google's up 1%, and Facebook finished with a gain of 2.5%, and Amazon was very strong, as the company has had news recently regarding coming up with operations that would actually aid their shipping of products to customers. Amazon today with a gain of 4.6%. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up $1.41 at $94.11, CSX up 79 cents at $25.30, AK Steel up 14 cents at $2.66, AEP up 94 cents at $62.85, Marathon Petroleum up $1.80 at $33.39, and U.S. Bancorp was up 78 cents to finish at $40.24. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And taking another look at the weather forecast. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies and patchy valley fog developing late. You can expect lows in the mid-30s. It's currently sitting at 49 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Jordan Simonson, Samantha Morrill, from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre, This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.